Okay, so last week we learned about the sugya of fish and meat. That was Kufta Zayin Beis. Now we move on to Kufta Zayin Gimel, which is still that sugya, but then that is how to distinguish between the two. So the Tur doesn't quote much, doesn't quote anything. He does. He quotes from the Rush. It says, V'adumi avi harash, Kufta Zayin Gimel, he says, my father the Rush, Hayaragil lirchot yadav bein basar ledag, that he used to wash his hands between meat and fish, v'hayashora pas b'yayin, and he would dip the bread in wine, v'ochlo bein taim, and eat that in between, k'di lirchot piv, in order to wash out his mouth. So that's what the Rush would do. So he would do, he would wash his hands, that's one thing, he would wash his hands, he would, and then he would take this wet bread and eat it in order to wash out his mouth. Okay? Comes the dark...
Do you think this thing, Basar v'dag, has anything... Does it matter what the order is?
So I don't think so. First of all, it does. I mean, we pass and there's no difference, right? And then in the Zmira, it's daf Basar v'dagim v'chol matamim, right? So, but I don't think you... I didn't see anybody making any distinction about which one comes first. So comes the dark emotion on the bottom, right? So that Dalit sends you the dark emotion. He says, Bago Sharidura, right? Lower isi afilu perushim v'tzenuim no'agim kain. Even like the really frum people, right? The perushim v'tzenuim, I never saw anybody makbid in this. Elosin kinuach apel l'chud v'hadachai de'shtia ad kalashon, right? Rather, they would just wash his mouth or brush his mouth and wash his and do some washing by drinking. So all right, so that's what the dark emotion. They have a little bit of a question. Okay, well, what was the difference? What
exactly? I had somebody in their house recently, and I knew what he was doing. It's just, did I want it like a schnapps after a fish appetizer? Did I want like a drink of liquor?
Not right.
So obvious, I don't drink
right
liquor.
Right. Give me some wine.
Right, that is,
you know, there's offered the without
there is a minhag of having schnapps specifically then, yes. So from Lux in the Shulchan Aruch itself, so it has the same similar languages, and still nobody really raises that question of what the difference is. Yirchot yadav bein basar ledag v'yochal pas shorei bein taim k'dei lirchot piv, right? Quotes from the Rush. But essentially, the Rush is really Ashkenaz, right? The Rush comes from Ashkenaz. And he writes this down once he's in Spain, but that is, it sounds like that's a minhag of the Rush, which generally would mean it's a minhag Ashkenaz, but yet the Ashkenaz, the Darki Moshe says, I never saw anybody in our neck of the woods do any of this, right? Which is an interesting thing. Usually when something from the Rush, it's usually an Ashkenazi practice. Here apparently it doesn't seem to be so. So the Machaber quotes the Rush verbatim, and I think, check, but I think it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. And then the Rama says, and here it's clearly being makel. Comes the Rama and says, "V'yesh omrim de'ein lachush l'zeh." We don't have to be so worried about this. Rak k'shem mivashlam yachad. We only have to be nervous about fish and meat when they're actually cooked together. V'achlan and eat together. V'alachlan zachar zeh. But eat one after another. Ein lachush. You don't have to be nervous eating one after another. V'chein noagim shol lirchot zepev lo yadayim b'taylo. We don't wash our mouth and hands between. However, we do something. You do eat something. You should drink something so that there will be kinuach and adacha. So right here, inside the Ramah, he seems to have two things. Oh, we don't have to do anything, but you need to eat and you need to drink something. So what?
Got rid of washing the hands.
So what's the clue? So he got rid of washing the hands, and it sounds like he's being significantly more makel. So what's the significant kula? So here in the Chalkas Binyamin, he points out the question, and he answers in the Bidurim. He explains that Rakshi Yochav v'Yishtem Mash. When he says you eat and you drink, Mashva de'in tzarch l'isav v'kinuach yafah. It doesn't need to be for any purpose. Meaning, what the Machaber was describing was you eat something, you drink something, and you like whoosh it around your mouth in order to clean everything out. So Mas says you don't have to do that. However, what you shouldn't do, according to the Rav, is just drink, eat one right after another. There should be some kind of break in between. So we were at in my former town, I was once at a dinner, a very large, massive dinner. They bring out the main course, and there's fish and meat on the plate, right there. That was the main course. One piece of fish and one piece of meat. And we're like somewhat shocked. So is that mutter or is that not? So besides the fact that, you know, the shock value of it, so is that okay? So technically, as long as they weren't cooked together, as long as you can somehow be mechalik between the two, would be okay. I remember I was sitting next to somebody who was not, wouldn't say just appropriately, and she explained something to the thing of. We don't eat fish and meat together. We're modern Orthodox, which I found a little hard to believe. In general, I mean, besides the way that she was dressed, I don't think she was Orthodox at all. But whatever, that was an interesting experience, that of them eating... in my previous town. It was an accident. Apologized for later on, but that was an interesting experience.
It was under kosher auspices.
Was that a wedding?
They gave a heksher to the food. The food was all kosher. Yeah.
Is this a wedding?
It wasn't the wedding. It was a dinner for something.
So that which the Ramos says, should have lost from Yaffa.
The problem is if they're cooked together.
That's supposed to wash your hands?
No, then you can't eat them together. Jesus. Meaning okay. Because he's going based on sif beis.
Okay.
Right? That the real problem, the real sakkah is only if they're cooked together. But if they're not cooked together, so then is there really a problem if they eat together? Well, not that big of a problem. Just make sure you eat something in between. Okay. So that's, first of all, that's important to keep in mind. I mean, we don't, just because you have a fish course and then a meat course, so you should make sure that you eat something in between that's not fish or meat. That's something to bear in mind over this. And what about the idea of having separate plates, separate silverware, etc.? So is that, that's not even mentioned here. One should make sure that you're not eating them together. So my brother, he went to Gush, and he told me that Shabbos meals, they were given one fork. That was it. And they had the fish course, and then they told them all, okay, wipe off your fork, and they wiped off their fork, and they had the meat course. That was it.
Should be good.
They're always pushing the envelope, those good
guys. Looks funny.
So, that was the deal. Yeah. Okay. So that is Sif Gimel. Adkan, fish and meat. One can go on.
So did it evolve just from accepting some type of chumrah that most of us do have separate plates? And
yeah, and probably came from this. I mean, in theory, you could do that from cheese to meat also, right? You can, in theory, if it's cold, right, you can cut cheese with a knife and then wipe it off, and a knife might be different, but at least a fork, right? So a fork and wipe it and eat meat with it, right? In theory, it's something.
One could argue that we are in a much more affluent society now. It's no big deal.
Yeah, and we're also in
two forks in most
right.
days.
Yeah, but still, I mean,
it wasn't necessary. It's
not necessary. Oh, it's why do it? Yeah.
Nice comment.
Okay. Okay. So there's. So now we head into a couple of these kind of things. Let's go back to the tour in the Beis Yosef. Okay, so we could go back a page to where it says, Hey, Aleph. Well, we read, remember last week, we ran the Dark Emotion, we did that piece with the end with the, with the covering of the thing, where it says that nowadays, as Manazeb, we don't necessarily have to worry about that anymore. So a little bit before that was a Hey with an Aleph. Right, you got that? Yeah,
I think it's
right
tough kud. You would guess. Tough kud.
Over there.
Yeah.
Are you in the tour?
The tour.
So you can see why he would put this first. So he says, "Mashkas shiyoter hechmiru b'sfeik umi b'safik yisr." That's a quote from the Torah, that we're more nervous with the suffik of danger than we are with the suffik yisr. So where do we get this? So pashut v'perek kama dechulon. In the first perek of chulon, had the kamar hasam she'im ba ze'ev menotel b'nei meim, that if a wolf comes and takes the inner part of the animal, so we've learned this sugi before for other reasons, right? V'chziram k'sheheim nekuv. And then he returns it, and they have holes in them because that's where the wolf bit into it, right? So it's still kosher, and we're not concerned that maybe in the place where the hole is, that there happened to be a hole there before. Right, we don't say, maybe it's a trefa that the I don't see any trefa. There's no holes in the lung. No. In the spot where the wolf bit into the lung, that's where the trefa was. So we don't say we're not choshesh for that. Right, we're not choshesh by that. Then, Shemakum nekev nakav. So the Svina Allah, and they asked the question here, Midatanya, Ra tzipor menaker b'te'ena, v'akver b'achbar, b'atiach. Right? That if you have a bird that takes from the pomegranate, and there was a...
Tana.
From the fig, I'm sorry.
Menaker means like poking a hole.
Poked a hole in it, right? V'achver b'atiach. They're eating out of a hole or something. So we are concerned that maybe from that spot, that's where the nachash took its bite. For aser, right, and therefore it would be aser. So it's possible that venom from the snake would get into the fruit.
I looked it up. A venom means it has to enter the bloodstream. So if it was poison, then it would be something that you eat. And you ingest, and that would be point.
So just drinking venom won't do anything to you?
Unless there's a cut in your mouth.
Yeah, but that could be a problem. Because you might have a cut in your mouth.
Right, we're not recommending it.
I'm more surprised to hear the snakes are eating fruit.
So what do we say there? We say, why are you not concerned that in the place where the wolf ate out of the thing, there was already a hole there? Oh, because we don't have to be choshish for that. Well, you are choshish for the idea that if you see a fruit that a bird was eating out of, that maybe a snake took a bite out of there and its poison is already in the fruit. So the answer is no. Mishani mi medami si sur l'sakanta. How could you compare an isser to a sakana, meaning by the wolf with the lung, we're talking about an isser of trefa, right? By the snake, we're talking about a danger, right? And chamira sakata meisura, and sakana is more machmir than isser, right? So that is the makor for this idea that perhaps one would be more machmir when it comes to sakanos than they would be when it comes to isurim. Okay, the. I'm not sure the Beisiosif really does much more than what's in Shulchan Aruch itself. So that is the source, and let's take a look back into the Shulchan Aruch as he lists off some things here. So again, these are all these random examples. The reason why he chooses these random examples is because these actually have makoros. These are actually talked about someplace in Shas. So the first few are only in Yerushalmi. So Yerushalmi has the following idea in Kuf Tesai and Siftalid. Tzarech lizaher mizeas ha'adam. One should be careful with human sweat. Shekol zeas ha'adam sam hamaves chutz mizeas ha'panim. Because all sweat from a person is sam hamaves. It's like a little bit of death, except for the sweat of the face.
Sounds more like elixir.
Like elixir of death, right? Right. Sam hamavas chutz bizeas apan, with the exception of that which comes from the face. Okay, so be careful. It's a new excuse not to go exercise, right? So, anyways, that is Sif Dalet. Okay, it continues on. Right, by the way, the Shach points out, V'simen l'davar, what is the simen that the zeyas of the mouth is okay, the sweat of the face is okay? Right? B'zeyas ha'pecha tocha lechem, with the sweat of the brow, you'll make bread. Right? So, can't be that it's you're actually creating life as opposed to destroying life. Okay. The Mechaber comes up with a few more, that's based on Yerushalmi and Shuma. The Mechaber comes up with a few other examples. Sarach lizar militein mos, pat b'piv, one should be careful before putting money in one's mouth. Why? Shemayesh aleihem rok yaveh shemoche shchin. Perhaps it has dried spit from somebody who had shchin, who had boils. Mm-hmm. The Shach points out a slightly different reason from the Ran, because many people touched it, and who knows where it's been, which you hear b'zman hazeh. V'lo yitein pas yadu tachas shchayav shemanaga yadu b'mitzora o b'sam ra. And don't put your hand under someone else's... So shchayav is like under their skin or under their...
Under their
Shema, why? Nega yadu b'mitzora, that perhaps their hands touched the mitzora, o b'samra, or touched some other type of poison, right? Velo yitein kikar lechem tachas hashechi, that's the armpit, is the shechi that I looked up. Don't put a loaf of bread under your armpit, okay? If they have it, because there's sweat there, velo yitein tapshir, velo mashkim tachas amid, okay, period. So those are all things which are, you know, kind of germy type of things, which makes sense, which perhaps were somewhat revolutionary in the time of the Gemara, right? But I don't think any of these come as major shocks to us. The next one is interesting. This actually comes up l'maisa. Remember, in camp, this is a big shaila in camp. V'lo yitin tafshe v'lo mashkim tachas hamita. One is not permitted to put foods, cooked foods, tafshe is cooked foods, nor drinks under one's bed. Why? Because of the ruach ra, that will appear, that will like rest on it. So that is that comes up in camp, right? Plus in camp, pretty much the only space you have are like three cubbies and whatever is under your bed. So I remember being in camp, people were mopping on this. So I'm not putting any food under there because of this sif in Shulchan Aruch. Is
you put your clothes under there, aren't you?
What?
You put your clothes under there and your food in the camp.
Yeah, food in the camp. Yeah,
just like, I'm just picturing like all the dust and junk under the bed.
So the Shach adds in, by the way, the words, afilu mechusim, even if they're covered. So is there any kula for this? So I saw it quotes it here from the Darkei Tshuva that first of all, it quotes from there it is. So he quotes here in the bottom that many poskim say that if it was under the bed, it's okay. The Chachasadim quotes from the Gra that no, even in that case, it would be a problem. However, in the Biurim, it says, Kasa b'darkei tshuva b'shem sefer mili d'chasidusa. I don't know what that is. D'yesh lomer d'ein chashash el b'mita sh'yesh batash b'shamita. It's really referring only to a bed where marital relations took place. He miyuchad this rak l'shein alo, but it's the bed that people only sleep on, so then it's not an issue. So that is a limud zchus for all the campers that put their cans of Coke under their beds. What?
You should hope it would be okay.
You should hope it would be okay in camp, yes. Okay. Anyway, so that is the food under the bed issue.
Does this have anything to do with the ruach ra that's on your fingers when you wake up in the morning?
Beyond my area of expertise, I don't know. I just tell it as I see it. V'lo yino tzachim b'toch esrog b'sof tzanun shema yipol adam al chuda v'yavos. That you shouldn't leave your knife in an esrog, or tzanun is a radish, right? Shema, lest someone fall on it, then they'll die, right? So that is a good thing to keep in mind. Okay, comes to the Rabbah.
What is it? Al chuda? Sheipo adam al chuda.
On the sharp part of it, fall on the sharp blade of it. Yeah. So comes the Ramah. So in the Chacham Yomi points out that the reason there are other places in our Chaim specifically where the Mechaber quotes other things that are dangerous. Why are these the only ones mentioned here? So the Chacham Yomi points out because this is your day, so I'm at food. So these are the food sakanas. But the Ramah expands it, talks about a few other things. So comes the Ramah and adds in, V'chein yizahir mikol dvar ma'hamevim lidei sakana. So too, we should be careful with anything that leads to sakana. Why? Because sakanta chamir mei yisurim. Because sakana is more dangerous than iser. V'yishlachush yos we have to be more choshish for suffix iser, for suffix sakana than a suffix iser. For lachain, therefore, asur leich machol makum sakana. You shouldn't go anywhere dangerous. Kamo tachas kir natoy, like a leaning wall. O yichidi balayla, or go by yourself at night. V'chein asur lishtos mayim min hanaros balayla. So too, you shouldn't drink water from the rivers at night. O laniach piv al kiluach, or to put your mouth on the stream. I'm not sure that's referring. It sounds like putting your mouth on the water fountain. Okay, I couldn't figure out a closer parallel. Kidvarim elu yishpem chashash sakanabus. There is a danger there that you can see, right? Uminuk pashut and simple, right? Shelo lishtos mayim b'shas hatkufa. I'm not sure what that means, but in the periods, there's a period at night that one shouldn't drink water.
Alan Appel's son told me what it is. It's the Tikufot. Actually, today is Tikufat Nisan. So he said that something about the golden calf took a place of Tikufat Tammuz and something, and they ground the water, I think. So he told me that some people don't drink water on the Tikufot days. So today is Tikufat. Tonight is Tikufat Nisan.
Tonight? Oh boy.
Five years after Bikkat.
That's right. Okay, the first. Monday night.
It's Minhag Pashit.
No, April.
That's what it says.
Minhag Pashit. Shalom Yishtos Mayim B'Shas HaTikva.
Right. Yeah, okay.
He told me that in a room.
Okay, good.
I don't know if anyone does.
Get a drink something.
So this is what I want to. So Od Kasu, the others that write, Sheish Livroch Mina Ir Kishad Dever Beer. When there's pestilence in the cities, you should run away from the city. Vishlatzis Mina Ir Bitchila Sadaver Velobasofu, and it's best to leave in the beginning and not at the end. Vichol Elu Advarim Himishim Sakan, Vishomer Nasha Yirchak Mehem, these are all because of danger, and a person who wants to, you know, wash his body should stay away from them. Vashalismo Chanis Olasaki Nasha. You're not allowed to put yourself in danger for this.
So during the plagues in Philadelphia, it was the yellow fever plague, and people in the outskirts, people who were away from the city were less susceptible. I think you're
right. Well, that's obvious. During the Black Plague, during all this stuff is right. Yeah. I actually was at a funeral at Har Judah. What's his name passed? Mr. The house, Gornish. So he was buried in Har Judah, Har Yehud, whatever his pronunciation
was. Oh,
I couldn't find it. It was very difficult. I couldn't figure out what the spelling was. But I was looking around some of the other tombstones. There were people like 14, 12, either. So it was probably from one of those plagues from back in the day. So there's a couple of interesting things to speak about here. Right, so if you take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, that's what I want to see. So in the Rabbi Akiva Eger here, in where it says Kesha Dever Beir.
Well, I haven't found Rabbi Akiva Eger. Oh, here's Ayin Kuf Aleph. It's very short here.
Rock.
Kuf means that. Back
of page. What's the beginning?
Oh, there we go.
Kesha Dever Beir. See that? We got the same book, so it's on page Reish Samachay.
Reish Samachay. Okay. Oh, maybe. Rock Kim Mishabav Yacha, Velo Masha.
Oh, it's on the other side. Reish Samachay.
Oh, here we are.
Okay.
So how many?
You see the bold printed?
Yeah.
That's it.
Kishadeber beer.
This is one of these like classic, hashgacha pratis shailas. Kishadeber beer. V'sifer Rabbeinu Bachya kasa pasuk ibadu mitocha eda. So the Rabbeinu Bachya in Parshas Korach, right? Bringing some parshanut, right? So Parshas Korach, the pasuk says, separate from this evil congregation. So it says, ask Rabbeinu Bachya, why? Why do you need to separate? Umar Hibadlu, Vakosh Baruch Hu, Yish Biyado, right? Yish Biyado, Lahamis Lahachios. Right? Why should you need to separate? Akash Baruch Hu can't decide who's going to die and who's not going to die. Right? Why is there a need to separate? If you're supposed to die, you're supposed to die. If you're supposed to die, you're not supposed to die. So what's the big deal? So Shari Yachul Hu Lahamis Esarav and Lahachios Echad Besochem. Hashem could kill a lot of people and allow one to live. V'chim Mashakasu Zal Beis V'Gimel Mischasim B'Talis Echad, that two or three people could sit in one talis, hashnayim mesiv emtzayin nitzal, and the two outside ones could die, and the middle one could live. V'chinyan shekasuv yipol mitzidcha elef, el kadesh shelo yedabek bahem ha'avir hara, shebemakas hadavar. So rather, what it means is, that on your side 1,000 could fall. Ella, what is it? Kadesh lo yudabik behema avir hara, that the bad air shouldn't reach you. Shemakas hadever kinyan haamor beishto shalot, but tabet ishto meachrav. Similar to what it talks about, refers to the wife of Lot, that she looked behind her. Omitam shamruzal kishe. When the Midas Hadin is amongst you, he doesn't necessarily distinguish between the righteous and the evil. So, first of all, there is the spirit that's there, which is, I guess, I'm not sure what the wife of Lot, when she looked back, she was able to breathe in or something like that, or she connected herself to people that were there.
Really?
That's unclear. What?
Anyway.
Yeah, and then the other, or when the Midas Hadin is there, so the Midas Hadin might kill Tzaddikim or Rishayim, that it's possible for Tzaddikim to die as well under such circumstances. So that is Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger, I just realized, Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the biography from Rabbi Akiva Eger that I read a couple of months ago, so Rabbi Akiva Eger was recognized by the Prussian government for his efforts on behalf of the people during the typhus epidemic. He got some kind of medal of honor because he was, first of all, he was very makbid that people take care of themselves on fast days and things like that. And he set up hospital. He did like a lot of things, and he actually got a. He was recognized by the secular government for his efforts on their behalf. It's an interesting piece of history.
The destroyer is given permission to destroy. He doesn't always distinguish. I think it's in Egypt, the Rashi says, when a destroyer has permission to destroy.
Oh, he could keep on.
You better make sure you put your mezuzah, because the one who doesn't know who's Jewish.
So were the B'nai Yisrael separate when Hashem passed over?
What?
Were they separate when Hashem passed over? Were they
they were in a different place?
In a different
place. Well, they were told to stay inside. They stayed
in their houses, and they had to put the blood on the.
I understand, but it was not them. The Egyptians were in their houses too. The question is, where were their homes? Were they separate in a separate neighborhood, or?
Yeah, probably. Well, that's a Rashi saying.
Okay, so the part that's cut off, so this is from the Sefer Nishmas Avram. Nishmas Avram is written in Hebrew, somewhat piece by piece. Then he went and put it all together in Hebrew and in English. So this is actually a very, he also wrote it himself, I think. I don't think this is translated. This is his own writing. Dr. Abraham is from Britain, so he wrote it himself. So this is an amazing resource on all medical things. That covers all of Shulchan Aruch. So he, in the section in discussing the Hilchos of Bikur Cholim, so he quotes from a Tshuva of the Rama, that we don't find anywhere with regards to the Halachos of Bikur Cholim, that there's a distinction between any types of different types of diseases, between infectious and non-infectious diseases. Right, except for one particular illness that the Gemara talks about, where he says you should stay away. So that seems to be against the Rama in that we just that he, then he quotes our Rama, even though this is from Simon, right? Shin Lamed Hey, right? So that seems to contradict our Rama. And he quotes our Rama. You see in a footnote Kuf Tzayin Sifei where he says that you should get running. So then he quotes the Rabbi Akiva Eger that we just quoted, right? And then he, if you go towards the bottom of that column, of the left column on the right side, I guess, right, it says, from the statement of Rabbeinu Bachya, one could possibly answer that there's a difference between a situation where a single patient is involved and one where there are many sick. If there's one patient there, so then, okay, you can go and visit even if he's somewhat contagious. In where my grandfather was in the hospital, the room next to him was a low pressure room. It assigned low pressure room. You've seen these before? To keep the whatever disease in. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I thought that was. Never saw one of those before.
Infectious stuff, you know.
Right, everybody went in and had to wear these coats or whatever. Yeah. But like you could see the guy in there. He's like walking around.
He could be seated or something.
Right. Okay, so then Waldenberg adds that only the ordinary person should avoid a plague. However, a physician and anyone else whose duty it is to care for the sick is permitted to endanger themselves to do so. So this Rama that says you should get away doesn't apply to doctors. However, he doesn't necessarily have to do so. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer says. So in the last paragraph, the doctor is allowed to stay, but he doesn't have to. That's what he quotes from the Tzitz Eliezer. However, says this is Dr. Abraham speaking, I wondered why a doctor should not be obligated to treat such a patient, who was in a life-threatening situation. The doctor or any other caregiver entered their profession of their own free will, knowing that there would be risks attached to their job. Surely they should be obligated to treat such a seriously or possibly seriously ill patient, even though there might be a slight risk involved. So Rav Neuwirth agreed with this and added that if they refused to do so, they would be setting aside a negative commandment of Lo Tamor Al Dam Re'acha, do not stand idly by while your fellow's life is in danger. If, however, the risk to the caregiver is very real, he is not obligated to put himself into danger, although he may do so if he so wishes. Rav Osner writes that it is forbidden for a doctor to run away if there is a plague, if he can help his patient. So there you have three shitos across the board. One is they're allowed to help people even though there might be danger to themselves. If there's a regular danger, they have to, says Rav Neuwirth, but if it's a real very big danger, they don't have to. And Rav Osner seems to say that no, they would not be allowed to. The captain doesn't leave the sinking ship, right? They wouldn't be allowed to leave a plague under those circumstances. Back into Shulchan Aruch, Vav is more of these things. I'm not sure how it talks about lo tishaksu, don't do things that are like yucky, which would, you know, even if all the snails would be kosher, going on going on like Fear Factor or shows like that, probably would be in violation of Kuftes Zayin Sif Vav. Kuftes Zayin Sif Zayin is also an interesting halakha. How to apply this? I'm not sure, but let's read it. Misukenes. What about a misukenes? An animal that's dying, right? But it's not technically a trefa. Afal pishni teres b'shchita. Right, even though in theory the shechita was okay, and in theory you checked and there were no actual trefos, right? Hamedaktikim machmir alatzim shalolachla. People that are very machmir are machmir not to eat from those animals, even though it's kosher. In the Chalakas B'yom, it talks about that it has to have pirkus, it has to shake after. It has no shaking afterwards. That would be yasser, but it has to shake a little bit. That's actually one of the simanim. And then the Rama goes on and says, behema shahora b'chacha misvara.
After you kill it,
I mean, even though you shechted it appropriately, if it was a misukenes, the medaktikim wouldn't eat it.
But you said something about the shaking.
The shaking after you kill it, right? Yeah, that's one of the ways of telling that it's a misukenes or not.
So if it doesn't shake, it was misukenes.
If it doesn't shake, it might be worse.
I would think that if it's damaged in some way, that it wouldn't, the refluxes wouldn't be there, and it wouldn't shake.
Mm-hmm. Right, muteres b'shchita impirkasa. If it shakes, b'sov dinam misukenes. Right, so he's saying then it would be mutter, but that might be what the medaktikim would say, still not to eat. Okay. Comes the Rama and says behema shahora b'chacham isvara v'lo nimtza din b'feirish. Say the chacham looks at it and thinks that it's okay, but can't give you the sif in shulchan aruch. It can't point to exactly why it should be okay. Right, shemuteres. Bal nefesh lo yochal imenus. Then a bal nefesh shouldn't eat from it. So you always have a problem. What does that mean? A bal nefesh. Bal nefesh. Who's a bal nefesh? So here, he quotes from Rashi in Maseches Nida. Perish a chassid. Now who's a chassid? That's also unclear. It's supposed to wear a black coat. Like who's defined?
Pious.
Right. So a pious person. So does that mean that's what you're trying to be? What exactly does that mean? It's difficult to understand. But the Rama says, but that's an interesting din. I mean, he can't tell. He thinks that it's mutter, but he can't tell you exactly why. So a baal nefesh should stay away from that. So if we take a look at here at the Piskei Tshuva, quotes. Right, that one should, even if it, so to blios of it would be a problem, and he quotes another one that says like this, lo nimsa din beferish, lo yocham yimen, etc. But towards the end he says, shuv ra'isi. A little bit, a couple lines before the end, he writes, in the Piskei Tshuva, he says, shuv ra'isi. So shuv ra'isi besoles lemincha. I don't know what the soles lemincha is. Klal ayin vav din ches, shekasa v'shem toras ha'asham. To me, sherotza lahachmir linhog iser bedaver shelo matzinu sheichmiru amurai. That if somebody wants to be machmir on something that you don't see amuraim or machmir on, kagon, for example, ma shnizbatel b'shishim o b'klisheni havikmo api kursus v'yatsa scharo behafseido. Right? So, for example, I mean, maybe you'll be machmer like this, but you're not going to be machmer on the plios. I mean, you don't see Amoroyim being machmer on the plios. That's just as far as given earlier in the Piskei Tshuva. So you're even going to go that far? So that's a shail of apikorsis. That's a shail of heresy for going too far. For being too machmer, that is a big issue. Right, he adds in here, quotes from a Tshuvas HaRama, that's something that the Minhag is spread, that everybody is made on such a thing, even though we don't necessarily understand why, then it's permissible to be Matiran also. So this is an interesting, I'm not sure what the applications of this are, but it's an interesting idea that on one hand, one has the right to be Machmer if you can't tell me exactly why to be Mekel, but one who's going to be overly Machmer, so you have a Cheshash of Api Kursus according to the
position. So I don't understand the situation because you come and ask a rabbi but everybody may know that this, or based upon common standard practice, that this is okay, but if he can't quote the Sif, then he can't use it. you know, I'm not sure what's the situation here.
Well, that might be one. I mean, there are things that we do that, like, we're not really exactly sure why, but we're makel on it for whatever reason, even though it seems like perhaps we shouldn't be. Would be something that comes to mind. I'm not sure. Like, food would be difficult. It might be just food or machmer in general. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so that's.
So if there is such a situation, the exact, then he can't tell you why we're mako, and then you have to be machmer.
No. So he's saying not. So the Ramah is saying not to. The Ramah is saying then you wouldn't be machmer on it. But what this person is saying is, and then what the Ramah is, that the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is saying that that if he can't tell you why, not necessarily a minhag. I mean, somebody comes up with the shaila. And they're not. They can't necessarily tell you why. So they. So then one would maybe be machmer on it. One could be machmer on it. This person in the back here though is saying, but to be overly machmer would be a shaila nafi kursus. I'm not sure if he's disagreeing with the Ramah or he's putting brakes on the Ramah.
It sounds like to me like you're saying, if you want to be more pious than the Amoraim,
yeah.
That's already going too far. We're not going to be more pious than the Amoraim.
Right, not the words. All right.
Yeah.